Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America.
Right.
But when did America ever bless God?
Right.
You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America
right.
at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more. Black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms, and your comrade in battle. It's Sean Kwali. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hells and the smells called North America. It is my honor and my privilege and my joy to be able to talk to you from this platform, this revolutionary platform that we know of and considered as Black Power Radio. And I have to open up this show giving thanks to the God of our forefather and our foremothers, the God of our forefather and foremothers, for giving us another chance at life and for allowing us to be here and traveling down the wheels of time through men and women and giving us divine inspiration, divine authoritative utterances, and divine revelation. And that when we find ourselves in positions of oppression and aggression and suppression, that there are men and women who are bold enough to stand up and to resist and to fight and to struggle and to mobilize and thrive and survive. Got to give thanks to all of our ancestors who are on the ancestral plane. Those like Ya Asantewa and Queen Hatshepsut and Bukman and Dessalines and Toussaint Louverture. The Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Prophet Noble Drew Ali, Clarence 13X, later known as Father Allah, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Malcolm X, the Deacons for Defense, Frank Williams. Thankful for all of them, whoever I've named and didn't name, those in the list that's too long to name, who have given their lives and paid with an ultimate sacrifice, and those who were persecuted here, ran down, some hung, some imprisoned, some impaled and stabbed, exiled, and on and on and on, so that we could be free or enjoy a little ease during the tyranny of a 6,000-year-old enemy and beast. And I give thanks for all of the Panther regiments, those that were under the leadership of the Honorable Kwame Ture, formerly known as Stokely Carmichael, in Lowndes County, Alabama, Mukasa Ricks, Bob Brown, and all of you who organized to keep our people safe. To the Honorable Comrade, Minister and Dr. Huey P. Newton, and our Comrade and Chairman, Bobby Seale, Treasurer and Comrade, Honorable Bobby Hutton, Sherman and Reggie Forte, and on and on and on, the sisters that stood up, Kathleen Cleaver, Honorable Comrade, Sister Asada Shakur, an Honorable Comrade, Sister Erica Huggins, all honorable. From henceforth, Elaine Brown, Sister Afeni Shakur, and so many others who were on a national level and those who were on a local level. We honor you and give thanks to you on this Black Power Radio. And we are happy to be able to carry the tradition of struggle. We understand that we didn't come out of a vacuum. We are not here of our own accord, but that we are here due to a tradition of struggle and due to the necessity of liberation and the want for salvation and the persistence of Black self-determination. We have arrived, and we are at that point in history where we have reformed and reorganized and reinstituted as the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Have to give thanks for our start. I don't talk about it enough, but I'm going to touch on it. Our start there in 1989, out of the South, out of Dallas, Texas, where some brothers and some sisters were fed up with the conditions that we faced and are facing, being that our leadership had become almost on the verge of annihilation due to the FBI's pursuit of Black intelligent leaders and an institutionalized program developed and framed called COINTELPRO, an acronym for the Counterintelligence Program. This was under the leadership of J. Edgar Hoover. In 1989, this program was defied. This action was rejected when some brothers and some sisters organized in Dallas, Texas. And even though all efforts had been made, every rock that could be unturned and overturned was overturned, and all efforts were used to destroy progressive Black movements or those who would be leaders and who would rise up to organize and defend us against our persecution and our enemies. In 1989, there were some bold brothers and some bold sisters who began to move and maneuver in the tradition of our people and they organized to resist the savage, sad conditions heaped on us by our oppressors and carried on by us through our slave-making process. I'm talking about that party that came up in Dallas, Texas, called the New Black Panther Party. And at that time, it was organized, and it was picked up and started by a brother who took the position of defense minister. He was the founder and took the position of a man of defense. And I'm talking about a man who you don't hear much about, but we have to give credit where credit is due. And so we have to, on Black Power Radio, give credit to a man and brothers and sisters who founded this organization in 1989. I'm talking about our brother, Brother Aaron Michaels. Giving thanks also to a man who served as National Minister of Defense, was one of the, I believe, first recruits of this party and this organization, and a man who continues to this day to push the line of black nationalism and black power and liberation for our people. I'm talking about that captain who was respected across this country and really across the globe, Captain David Foreman, and so many others who had organized during the late 80s and the early 90s and began as what is now known as the upstart, the early seeds of this organization called the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. There's so much controversy that oftentimes surrounds, or too oftentimes surrounds, our party, and not enough attention is laid, and the framework and the groundwork is not laid for the positive accomplishments of this party. And too many of you, too oftentimes, you don't know who we are, and you don't know what it is that we represent. And so it is my job as the representative of Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and national spokesman for this New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense to dispel the rumors and to make it plain, so plain, that if your three-year-old son, daughter, niece, nephew, or just the average individual has a question about who we are, that by the time they leave this broadcast, they will know, and you will know very well who we are and what it is that we stand for. I have to say at the outset that we are not some adjunct party copycatting and imitating the Black Panther parties before us. We carry on in a tradition of struggle and in a tradition of liberation and freedom fighting, and we give honor to those, as I said in the beginning, who have come before us. But we know full well that we are in some perilous times. That as in 1989 and right now, we live in an era called a crack era. An era filled and fueled with one of the Panther Party, the Black Panther Party's serious enemies, fueled with Reaganomics, with old no good crinkled Ronald Reagan. We live in a time that the number one concern or one of the main concerns of students in the college universities, young students in high schools across America, and even students in grade level elementary, their main concern in 2011 is not always having a good grade point average. Their main concern is not having the best backpack or having the right kind of sneakers or having the right outfit or what kind of sport they're going to take up in the gym. Many of these students in 2011, their issue is now, does my classmate have a firearm in the class? Does some student who has become dissatisfied and disillusioned and upset with the present educational system and economic structure of America now want to take out his or her frustration on me and my colleagues as we sit in this classroom? Now in 2011, the number one concern for the average man or average woman in North America, it's not always, do I have the right kind of automobile? Or does my lawn look the nicest on the block? Now, in many households, the number one concern for the average man and woman and average household is, how will I find the means, the necessary means, to make ends meet for my family? Now, with about 60%, according to some statistics, 60% of the average individual in America unemployed, uneducated, economically desperate. Now, with 60% of the average person in America unemployed, now the stage is set for the average person in America, their focal point, their foremost mission in America is, will I survive? And so we draw this to your attention to draw your mind to 1966, when the number one issue in public school for the average student was said to be the students were putting chewing gum underneath their desk. We are now a far cry away from those times of the 60s. We are now in an era where crack and prostitution and tribal gang warfare, I'm speaking as a community, and economic disparities now ravage our communities more than ever. And this is the backdrop that the new Black Panther Party has been formed on and was formed because of in 1989. Now, as the counterintelligence program decimated the Black Panther Party and decimated righteous movements in America, there were brothers and sisters who continued to struggle in different parts of the country, although not under an organized fashion or unified fashion. There were those who continued the message and continued the purpose and continued the zeal as displayed by Kwame Ture and displayed by Huey P. Newton. And Aaron Michaels was no different. David Foreman was no different. And so as they organized, and also let me not forget, out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a brother who also had a strong part to play in the rise of the new Black Panther Party was a man by the name of Michael McGee, who was elected to Milwaukee's city council in 84. He was a councilman, and he got to see firsthand the underhanded, savage, brutal, devilish polytricks played by white councilmen and the white power structure on the black so-called ghettos of America and the black community. And when he saw this, it's documented, he would go to the radio and begin to say on the radio that if my people, if our people do not begin to receive justice and fair treatment, that we would begin to ruin all of your events, all of your fun, and everything that you considered a good time, unless we had more job opportunities and more things. This is the way that Michael McGee in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, started. And he began to organize in the late 90s. He began to hold what was called State of the Inner City press conferences at the City Hall there in Milwaukee. He began to go to the street tribes, what you can call gangs and consider gangs. He would go to them. He would enlist them. He would recruit them. He would provide them with proper training, weapons training, self-defense training, dietary training. And he had a philosophy that was a correct philosophy, in my estimation. And he would say that they can fight, and that they already know how to shoot their guns. They already are carrying guns. And he would say that he was going to take their energy and take their stance and give them a cause to live for and also a cause to die for. And so by 95, our brother Michael McGee had announced to the city that this militia that he organized, as he called it, the Black Panther Militia, that they would carry out armed defense maneuvers and that they would go up against the big private interest corporations and the big blood-sucking multi-millionaire corporations that were sucking the life out of the black community. This is Michael McGee, who would go to the local public school meetings dressed in black fatigues in the same spirit of the Black Panther Party under Minister Huey P. Newton. And he told the local public school system, the local school meeting, that his party, his group, his militia would be about freedom fighting. And it would be about actual freedom fighting. And at times, even if necessary, guerrilla warfare. This is a man that was determined to see some justice for his people. He organized chapters there around Wisconsin, organized in Indianapolis, and had spread out. And so at this time, at the same time as he was organizing, Aaron Michaels in Dallas was organizing as well. Memoja Ajabu in Indianapolis was organizing as well. See, this panther, the nature of that panther was and is resiliency. And so even though J. Edgar Hoover hoped to wipe out any memory, any location, any chapter, any lesson, any ideology of the panther was still and is still rising in America. And Michaels at this time was working the radio stations as well. See, that's why Black Power Radio is so detrimental to their propaganda. Aaron Michaels was working the radio, and he began to have a nightly show that he worked with called Talk Back. He started producing a show called Talk Back in 1990. And he began to preach a black nationalist ideology on this Talk Back radio show. He began to organize along with another individual named John Price. John Price, he began to organize confrontational protest in Dallas. He began to organize along with his protests and his preaching of a black nationalist ideology. He began to organize drug watches and patrols in the black community. Y'all better hear me good out there. And so, between himself and Michael McGee, there was a movement that was being birthed in the hills of North America. At the same time, there was also a counter defense that was being birthed in the hills of North America. We'll get into that. And so Michael McGee came on Talk Back in 1990. Came on there in 1990 as Aaron Michaels was working as a producer at this radio station and helping to get this black nationalist ideology out. Michael McGee came on the show and began to kick that black nationalist ideology and ask people to join on with this Black Panther militia. And this man, John Wiley Price, who was the host of this radio show, Talk Back, began to ask people to support this Black Panther militia. Aaron Michaels was the producer. John Wiley, who was deputy county commissioner, was hosting and running the show. They were putting confrontational protests in the Dallas area. They were organizing, and the Black Panther militia was rising. By 1990, Aaron Michaels organized in the same fashion, organized a group of comrades who would go in the spirit of the Black Panther Party under Kwame Ture and Minister Huey P. Newton. And in the same fashion, like Michael McGee with the Black Panther militia, Aaron Michaels had community organizing tactics that he used as a base from the Black Panther Party, the 1960s. And he began to also use some of the survival programs. But the difference Aaron Michaels at that time said that he felt that the survival programs were good, but that they didn't make us free. He was for the food programs, for the clothing programs. He was for all of the staple programs that the Black Panther Party had underneath Minister and Dr. Huey P. Newton. But he suggested that while those programs were necessary, they did not mean that we would ultimately be free. And in careful analysis, when you look at how the government of the United States of America took over the Women and Infant and Children Program, now known as WIC, when the U.S. government took over the WIC program, that was a program that came from the Black Panther Party of the 1960s. You see how they took away the black nationalist, black power, do-for-self ideology away from the program. The government began to usurp and to take over many of the programs, the staple programs that the Panthers had, because they did not want the ideology of self-determination and black history and everything that the Panthers was giving the young children to be carried on while these young babies were being fed their breakfast before they went to school. And so, in hindsight, we can't say that Aaron Michaels is off point, but we do believe that the survival programs are good, but that they won't make us free. And so, he said that they would have an ability to create a dependency, and our goal is to teach black people to build economic and social power without government-aided handouts. And our goal is to pull together and to solve issues in the community without forming a victim mentality. This is the early foundation, the early platform of the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. And so this group, this cadre, under Brother Aaron Michaels, began to establish a nationwide base over the course of a few years. And by May 29th of 1993, the Dallas chapter of that early New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense hosted and began what was known as a National Black Power Summit and Youth Rally. The National Black Power Summit and Youth Rally. And in that was also Brother and Comrade Michael McGee. In an effort at that time to have some type of common cause and some type of end to the attacks by the white supremacists that were attacking our people and to this day still continue to attack our people. They at that time had that white supremacist, Tom Metzger, of the White Aryan Resistance, there at that rally. This white supremacist, Tom Metzger, told the audience that he believed in achievement of goals by any means necessary. And that he believed that the course of separation was the best course necessary. That the two nations of people, in words, after being at war for this amount of time, could not live in complete harmony and peace together. Now, under Aaron Michaels, the new Black Panther Party did expand their leadership, expand their cadre, and to some degree expand the leadership, and they begin to now fully embrace African leadership and African-centered spirituality. And it was during this time, as they begin to expand in leadership and begin to promote an African-centered ideology that a man whom we have come to know as the Black Power General came into play. I'm speaking of that man known as the Honorable Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Much has been made of Minister Khalid Muhammad. Many of you have heard of Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Some of you, maybe even today, have watched a tape, a video, a CD, listened to a CD or watched a DVD of Minister Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. But not enough of you and we know who Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad was, and I say still is, in spirit and truth. Khalid Muhammad was a man who was born in Houston, Texas. He had joined the Nation of Islam after hearing Minister Louis Farrakhan, who then at that time was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's national representative. He heard him at Dillard University in New Orleans. This was around 1967. After the Honorable Elijah Muhammad departed from the scene in 1975, and his son, his physical son, Warth Dean Muhammad, took the group towards Orthodox Islam, traditional forms of Orthodox Islam. It was Minister Farrakhan who elected at that time to perpetuate the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's pro-black teachings, began to push the hard line of separation and independence and a do-for-self theology as taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. This was sometime around in 1978. And many of those hard-line, dedicated soldiers began to help and support the cause of Minister Farrakhan and his rebuilding of the Nation of Islam, as taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Same as with Dr. Khalid Muhammad, when the Nation of Islam went towards orthodoxy, and some say fell, it was Khalid Abdul Muhammad who began to roll and to support the rebuilding efforts of Minister Louis Farrakhan. Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad was appointed West Coast Regional Minister. He became the West Coast Regional Minister and became the Minister of Mosque Number 27 in Los Angeles. Now, let me backtrack and also say that while Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad was in the Nation of Islam during the mid-60s, he was one hell of a soldier. I'm talking about rank-and-file soldier, a man who at that time was traveling city to city and state to state, pushing the program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, cracking open and busting thousands of Muhammad Speaks papers. This was no lightweight individual. And so as he became West Coast Regional Minister and Minister of Mosque 27 in L.A., he labored hard, pushing that program as he always did. In the mid-80s, he was transferred to Atlanta, Georgia, and became the Minister of Atlanta. And due to some infractions and some misunderstandings with some paperwork, dealing with some homes, he had to do some time in jail. That's right, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad did some time in jail in the late 80s, 1988. Did 3 years I believe it was 3 years in the penal system. Well, he was sentenced to three, pardon me, sentenced to three and served nine months in that penitentiary in the belly of the beast. And he labored, and you would hear him talk about it often in his lectures. He, just like Minister Malcolm X, made no apology for being locked down in the beast, as he would say that all of the righteous men of God and those who were fighting on the forefront had faced some jail time. And so after 9 months, he was released and kept pushing, kept rolling. He didn't punk out and say, oh, I got locked down, I can't do it anymore. He kept pushing, he kept organizing, and he became ultimately one of Minister Farrakhan's most trusted helpers and advisors. By 1990, after going through all of that, he became the minister of Mosque Number 7 in New York City. And then finally, about a year or so later, he was named Minister Farrakhan's national spokesman, following in the same line as Minister Malcolm X, as national spokesman, and also his teacher and mentor, Minister Louis Farrakhan, as national spokesman in that line of divide. And so, as this black man is organizing and working and building, he ran into some controversy, November of 1993, after he delivered a speech in New Jersey at Keene College. He delivered a speech in New Jersey at Keene College, and he, like always, spoke that truth, calling them Jews the blood suckers of the poor, saying that we had to defend ourselves, said that metaphorically someone should lift up the skirt of the Pope and see what's under there. It was a metaphor, as you hear him talk about on Donahue. But because of the climate, that speech received a lot of media attention, and many of the so-called leaders began to condemn Dr. Khalid Muhammad, began to ridicule and slandered Dr. Khalid Muhammad. Both religious and political leaders did this. And even the U.S. Congress got involved in the act. By 1994, the U.S. Congress issued a condemnation of Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. They condemned, for one of the first times in history, they condemned what's labeled as a private citizen from the halls of the U.S. Congress. Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad laid it on them so tough that they felt it necessary to have a special session and condemn Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, calling his speech vile and outrageous hate mongering of the most vicious kind. And so, based upon internal strife within the Nation of Islam, and based upon the critiques and criticisms given by leaders and even to some extent the Jewish community, the so-called Jewish community, Minister Farrakhan and those in charge felt it necessary to remove Dr. Khalid Muhammad from the ranks of the leadership, from the ranks of leadership in his positions. And so he did that, but he says he stood by, according to the press conference and release, he stood by the truths that Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad spoke. And so it was at this point that Khalid Muhammad found himself at, as he called, a crossroad. Found himself at a crossroad to now have to decide on if he was going to continue in the fight, or if he was going to fade back and fall back and fall out of view. But the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, having such a powerful track record, such a powerful history, and having the heart and courage and the love of our people, continued to push, and he continued to organize. He continued to speak on college campuses and universities. He continued to attend public events across the country. He continued to mobilize and to even put the name of Minister Louis Farrakhan and put the name of Minister Louis Farrakhan out front. He began to quench even his own personal dissatisfactions, his own misunderstandings. He began to fight on in the face of much opposition and to push the program as given to him by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so as he was invited, he took an engagement at the University of California, Riverside, May 29th of 1994. And a note came, according to as he explained it, a note came to the rostrum that said that there was gas, there was the smell of gas that had entered into the venue in the event, and that the event had to be cleared out. But that the people at that time still had questions. And so Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad said that he felt it best to take the questions outside. And he took the questions outside, not wanting to disappoint the people. He wanted to answer their questions, being a man of the people. And so in going outside, he, talking about Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, was the victim of an assassination attempt. Now, you hear him, if you've ever followed Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, you hear him talk about this plenty of times. He said that on that day there were several attempts. There were several attempts that could have taken place, but that in his mind, there was his security mind had kicked in and he had begun to make certain maneuvers. I'm not trying to be spooky at all, but that he said out of his mouth, he began to make certain maneuvers, the FOI, the Fruit of Islam detail that was carrying him, he said, was untrained. They were untrained Fruit of Islam, and they were, in some cases, I believe he said they were even processing FOI, and that he began to see things and loopholes even within the security, and as he was riding up to the event, as he was riding up to the university, that he told them to let him out of the car. He said he had saw a group of so-called Jews outside protesting the event and that he wanted to go and deal with them himself. And he told them to let him out of the car. The security, trying to do their job, said that they didn't want to let him out. But that doc said he got out of the car on his own, opened the door and got out and went through the front way. And he said ultimately that was one time that he saved his life. He said there was some assassins waiting for him at an entrance, that if he would have went through that entrance, they would have ultimately snuffed his life. That was the first time on that day. And so as he took these questions outside, May 29th of 1994, shots rang out by a former Nation of Islam minister and member, James Best. A former member named James Best, who began to shoot shots and make shots ring out, who had all kind of artillery in his car. James Best had all kind of firepower and weapons in his car. He even at one point, before the shooting began, reportedly locked his keys in his car and he couldn't get into his car, and he even called the police, and with all this firepower, bullets and rifles with scopes and pistols, all of this in the car, the police came, unlocked his car, didn't ask him any questions, and James Best carried on his devious assassination plot and attempt. And so many who were with Dr. Collins on that day, and our National Chief of Staff, Brother Hashim Nzingo, being one of them, was shot at and shot on that day. Dr. Collins himself was shot and also hit in the leg close to a main artery that ultimately would have bled him out and bled him to death. It was Dr. Collins who had made a tourniquet using his training in the FOI's former supreme captain, and using his training, I forgot to mention he was also supreme captain, but using his training to make a tourniquet, his battle training, to stop the bleeding. Him, along with other people who were protecting his lives, including Bloods, Crips, gang members, and others who were shot down, they began to, number one, secure him, and also take care of James Best. Hollering at that point, many of them saying he works for the Jews. This man, James Best, was sentenced to a life stint in prison, and it came out later that he was financed by that same group, that persecutes us to this very day. I'm talking about us, the New Black Panther Party, the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, and the JDL, the Jewish Defense League, financiers and those who ultimately work to get James Best some leniency and some freedom. It came right out of the JDL, the Jewish Defense League, and the ADL. Another story for another day, but it's bigger than the people that you see on the front. And so Dr. Collins, after being shot, had to make a tourniquet and stop the bleeding and save his own life, ultimately being taken into the hospital, secured by those around him. He had to, move this along just for you all for the sake of time. He had to save his life. And so as he was recuperating, fresh out of the hospital, fresh out of surgery, and trying to figure out who was really behind this attack, he became guarded and became protected by the New Black Panther Party, in a meeting arranged ultimately by Brother Hashim Nzinga and ultimately by Thomas Muhammad. Thomas Muhammad, who served at that time as a political advisor. And so, hell, the New Black Panther Party began to protect Dr. Khalid Muhammad as he was suspended from his post as minister and national spokesman from the Nation of Islam, and ultimately much of the security that was supposed to be around Dr. Khalid, as provided by the FOI at that time, was pulled from Dr. Khalid. Dr. Khalid was doing speaking engagements around the country, many times with no professional security from the FOI. He was doing engagements all around the country with no professional security from his brothers and sisters, whom he had soldiered with for years, whom he had labored with for years, whom he had rolled with and organized with for years. He didn't have that security anymore for whatever reason. Some sources say that there was internal beef, that some of the laborers didn't care that much for Dr. Khalid Muhammad, didn't care that much for his hard stance and his hard ability to move people, the way that he carried and conducted himself. Some of the same thing with Minister Malcolm X. It's the same history, that some of those, not necessarily Minister Farrakhan, but some of those who were around him didn't care about Dr. Khalid and would instruct those who were in charge to remove the security from Dr. Khalid, ultimately exposing him to whatever issue was out there. And so at this time, as Dr. Khalid Muhammad was fighting for his life and fighting to save his life and keep his life so that he could work for us, he was surrounded by this upstarting group called the New Black Panther Party out of Dallas, Texas, under the leadership of Aaron Michaels. And at this time, that was when the connection, and that's when the working arrangement of Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad and the New Black Panther Party began. So this is now, we're moving around the time of 95, 96. And so they began to organize together. As Doc got on his feet, they would organize together in Dallas, Texas, against the school board, again, working on that education. And they would go to the school boards and disrupt the school board meetings. And they would demand greater black representation and better teaching for the students in the school, for black students in the public school system. That's right. They would go to these school boards and make havoc in the school boards. And it was Aaron Michaels who began to ask people to resign. School board presidents, he would go around and ask them to resign. And he would call these school board presidents dictators, Nazi Germany dictators. And so now this new formed organization, this new formed alliance, this new formed movement began to push for our people deep in the South. And there were three members of the New Black Panther Party: Aaron Michaels, Keith Anderson, and Nathaniel Anderson, that were wrongly assaulted and arrested by the Dallas police officers at one of these school board meetings. They were assaulted and arrested. And so Aaron Michaels and Khalid Muhammad went haywire, went to the press, and they began to send a joint news release calling for any black man with a gun to protect them at the next meeting. See, we're not playing no games. And they wasn't playing no games. They would call for those who were willing to stand up and protect them against the brute, wild, buck, rabid, racist police officers to protect them, people's community control and protection, at the next meeting. And so in response to this, the then Dallas police chief, Ben Click, he issued a statement that he would no longer allow his officers to be at school board meetings. He wouldn't let them, and so they began to cancel the meetings. And they would work ultimately to change the local laws to make it illegal to be on armed property utilized for school board administration. Or pardon me, to be armed on property utilized for public school board administration. Ultimately, Bill Cleaver later said that the New Black Panther Party had won a victory for the black community. All right, now, Aaron Michaels a few days later called on Dr. Khalid Muhammad to go off into Greenville, Texas, after two black churches were burned down. Dr. Khalid Muhammad announced to the world that we would set up patrols all across the country to protect black churches. See, while many are set tripping over religion and religious ideology, it was the New Black Panther Party that said that wherever the God of our foremothers' name is mentioned or honored and revered, we would stand and protect you. We was not willing to repeat the history of the little girls in Birmingham, Alabama, that when you rose up against our people and even the religious institutions, we as a self-defense group would stand to protect you. Dr. Khalid Muhammad would go on to say to the people listening in the press, he would say that if you catch a cracker lighting a torch to any black church or any property of black people, we ought to send them to the cemetery. Send them to the cemetery. Okay? And that's the same thing that Aaron Michaels also reiterated, that the only thing these racists understand, he say, is gunpowder. He say black gunpowder. So by 1998, The Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad was elected unanimously as national chairman of the new Black Panther Party. And by this time, we had chapters that were forming all over the United States of America. Dr. Khalid began to take on anything concerning our people, anything he could find. As you often hear our national chairman now, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, talk about he's looking for a fight. He's following in the same footsteps and in the same manner as Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, who he would look for things that were wrong concerning our people, and he would go and address these issues. He ultimately came across a situation in Jasper, Texas, as he now is moving across the nation with a message to recruit young men and young women to a message of pro-black ideology, a pro-black stance, a black liberation theology. And now, as Aaron Michaels is now the Minister of Defense, by June of 1998, Aaron Michaels and Khalid Muhammad took about 50 Panthers, about 50 or so Panthers, to Jasper, Texas, including over a dozen of tactical team members. See, we got all kind of people carrying shotguns and rifles to protest the murder of our brother, if you can remember, Brother James Byrd Jr. We were there to organize against the Klan as they had murdered our brother, who at that time was only 49 years old, beaten and fatally, ultimately dragged behind a pickup truck down a rural road by three white supremacists. And so, in response to a rally organized by the Klan in that town, 2 weeks later, the new Black Panther Party showed up to counter demonstrate. Same way that we did for our brother in North Carolina. Same way. See, we're following the same tradition. But let me not deviate from this point here. We showed up to counter demonstrate. And when some of the Panthers got past some of the police that were there separating us from the Klan, the KKK members ducked and ran and abandoned the whole rally that they planned at City Hall. At that time, some of you don't know that the police were protecting the KKK, that the Klan had organized a rally, and that they were making threats that they were going to march in the black community and make mockery of the death of our brother, Brother James Byrd Jr. And so when the Panthers showed up to counter demonstrate, and it's all on footage, some of the police had detained Dr. Khalid Muhammad and Aaron Michaels and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who was there, and others who were there, but some of the brave, bold Panthers broke through the police barricade and the police lines. And once the KKK saw the Panthers got through the lines, them KKK tucked tail and ran from the rally, abandoned the rally, which they started. Dr. Khalid was telling the people at that time, we can take these bastards, and we can run over the damn police and take their ass. Pardon my language, but that's what Doc said. It's the quote. We can take their ass. Who's with me? He said after the Klan had been ran off, the new Black Panther Party marched to the jail. We went over to the jail where one of our brothers had been arrested during the rally. And in response to show the force of the black community, and guess what happened? When the Panthers marched over to the jail and the black community went over to the jail, they released our brother on the spot. It's actual fact. After the protest, Dr. Khalid Muhammad began to concentrate on the youth, and him along with Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and Hashim Nzinga and the organizers that were with him at that time, they proposed a million youth march. The purpose of this march was to promote unity among young Africans, young blacks, and to bring black teenagers from around the nation to Harlem, New York, ultimately wanting Malcolm X Boulevard to celebrate black power, or the upstart or the resurgence of black power in that new year, that new upcoming year, the new century. They wanted the march to provide a forum to showcase the new Black Panther Party as a leading group, as the leading group in organizing young black youth. And at that time, with the help of the December 12th movement, such as Viola Plummer and others, and of course, in that D12, if you know anything about D12, there's original Panthers or Panthers of the 60s all in that group. Dr. Khalid Muhammad began the tour once again to promote the march. He received endorsement from black leadership, and at that time even got the endorsement of Reverend Al Sharpton, who ended up speaking at the event. Reverend Sharpton and Dr. Khalid Muhammad, said, became friendly after Reverend Al Sharpton was stabbed in Bensonhurst in Brooklyn in 91. And Dr. Khalid, he sent a letter to Reverend Sharpton, a letter of support, and would later organize a series of engagements. Al Sharpton began to organize a series of speaking engagements for Khalid Muhammad with the street gangs, talking about relationships here. And so in 98, prior to the march, that old gangster, Rudolph Giuliani, who was then mayor, as they always do, he labeled our March a hate march. And the police department and the city initially denied the new Black Panther Party a permit to hold the event in Harlem, talking some talk about safety concerns. Dr. Khalid responded by threatening to march in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, one of the affluent areas in Brooklyn, saying it would be a direct confrontation with the Jews of that area, who have misused and abused our people in Brooklyn and Crown Heights for so long. He was going to move into Crown Heights with our people and go at them Jews. And eventually, with the help of Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and some other attorneys, a federal judge ultimately overturned that decision to deny the permit. And Dr. Khalid Muhammad convened that rally September the 5th in Harlem of 1998. As many of you know, that they ended with a scuffle. It ended with a confrontation between the New York City Police Department, the people that were there at the rally, demonstrators, and the new Black Panther Party. When police attempted to shut the rally down at the time of 4 p.m., they gave us a 4 p.m. deadline, which was adhered to. But what we didn't know, was unbeknownst to the Panthers and us at that time, was that Rudolph Giuliani, I didn't call him a gangster for no reason, Rudy Giuliani had a special tactical cadre of police officers, of pigs, that were inserted into the rally, into the Million Youth March. And that when the signal was given that they were supposed to incite the crowd, that they were supposed to attack the crowd, they were supposed to forcibly move on the crowd. And so, as you see, many of you saw in the footage, you see Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, who from the whole rally, most of the whole rally, really the whole rally, didn't say a word. He didn't say a word, didn't give a speech, didn't give nothing. And what he ultimately said, and what the national chairman say, they were going back and forth on the stage on whether he should talk, whether he should speak, whether he should have something to say. And ultimately, Dr. Khalid Muhammad, feeling like that his work and that the work spoke for itself, he didn't have to give a speech, but that his work spoke for itself. And so him and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz would go back and forth on the stage. And Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, being a man who loved his mentor, loved his leader, and wanted him to get his just due before the people, felt that the people should hear the voice of Dr. Khalid. And so he would go to Doc and say, you know, if when I get the mic, I'm going to call you up. And Doc reportedly said that if you do that, I'm just going to call somebody else and say they were having this exchange behind the scenes on the stage. And ultimately, they begin to see, there was reports that came in, and they begin to see the police lining up behind the stage and lining up in riot formation along the sides. And so you saw Khalid Muhammad go to the microphone. And Khalid Muhammad took the microphone in his military style, being former Supreme Captain, being national chairman, and being trained by a legendary captain, Captain Ali Rashidi. He took the microphone and began to analyze the situation and give instructions to our people who are out there and whose lives at this point were on the lines. And he began to say to them that you see them lining up in the trenches. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but you see them lining up in the trenches. They've lined up all alongside of you. He said that some of them have one gun and two guns, in some cases three guns, and that if any of them attack you, he say, in self-defense, you decide where you are. Remove the railing where you are, because many of you don't know that the NYPD had put barricades around the people trying to cut off the crowd, trying to stand with the growth of the crowd. And they begin to block, the city had blocked transportation access and blocked the car transportation, blocked the ways to get to the rallies, what I'm saying. And they began to try to stifle the growth of the crowd. And so they had barricades around them. And so Dr. Khalid Muhammad said, grab the barricade. Decide where you are. Who's going to remove the railing where you are and get to whooping the hell out their asses and wailing on their asses, he said. And so as he was talking, remember now there's a tactical team in the crowd. Dr. Khalid told us, he began to say, to the world that there was a helicopter that swooped down, made a swoop down formation, and that was the signal that Rudy Giuliani allegedly and those in that tactical team were given. That was the signal to attack the crowd. And so he said as he saw the helicopter make the swooping formation, that instead of panicking, knowing that the people would stampede and the people would begin to trample over each other and trying to save their own lives, you see him on the tape begin to say, black power, black power, black power. And the people in response begin to say, black power. And you see him throwing their fists in the air, black power. And it's at that moment, brothers and sisters, as you see them on the tape saying black power, that the helicopter had made its swoop. And Dr. Khalid Muhammad, in making the people say black power, had saved their lives and stopped them from stampeding and trampling one on the other. And so ultimately, as the police began to rush the stage and to rush the crowd, as they begin to rush, you see the demonstrators and the people and the Panthers. Don't let nobody tell you that the Panther Party was not involved in the confrontation. It is well documented that even Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad himself and those with him were involved in the confrontation. Dr. Khalid Muhammad jumped from the stage and was trying to get the police, the NYPD. His security held him back, saying, no, Doc, they will try to kill you out here, it is reported. They will try to kill you. And so his security, doing its job, began to secure Dr. Khalid Muhammad as the police rushed the stage, and the people began to protect Dr. Khalid Muhammad. That's an actual fact. And so I know this is a lot, but just give me a second. And so the police storming the stage, and the people defending Dr. Khalid Muhammad on that day was a hell of a stance for the new Black Panther Party. Now, I just want you all to remember the words of Dr. Khalid Muhammad as he said, look these bastards in the eye, and if anyone attacks you, decide who's going to disconnect the railing where you are and beat the hell out of them with the railing where you are. No, he called them no good bastards. He said, if you don't have a gun in self-defense, if they attack you, take their goddamn guns from them and use their guns. And if any one of them bastards riots here today, you take their nightsticks the way they did Brother Avalon the Weimer and ram it up their behinds and jam it down their throats. That's what Dr. Khalid Muhammad said. And we just have to bear in mind that this is about self-defense and self-determination, that it will not always be peaceful. It will not always tiptoe through the toilets, but that we have to have confrontation and agitation in self-defense. Ultimately, 28 people suffered some injuries. And it was 16 police officers also in that 28 that suffered injury. They were struck by chairs and struck by bottles. You had members who were arrested, three New Black Panther Party members arrested at that point from Dallas and from other areas, you know, arrested. New Black Panther Party had its own legal team. Of course, you know, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz and all of that, working to free the members of the moment they got arrested. Every member jailed got legal representation, and we want to give a thanks to the December 12th movement and committee that worked to free our party and our party members. As a result of the success of the march to reach black youth, Dr. Khalid, his influence as national chairman had reached a zenith, a high point, and hundreds of thousands attended the Million Youth March. That victory is really held as one of the largest gatherings ever organized by the New Black Panther Party to date for national recruitment. A whole lot of you joined the New Black Panther Party just off of that Million Youth March, and we appreciate you and hope that you're still holding the line. And so ultimately, the Million Youth March was organized again in 1999, organized in 2000, reorganized for a couple of years. And so we continued during the late 90s, early 2000, to push on and to mobilize. And we began to keep going with high-profile demonstrations and began to really now work on the organization and the organizational leadership. And it was at this time that Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, who, by the way, who was involved in all of this that I'm talking about during the time of Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. I cannot mention properly Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad without mentioning the accomplishments and works of Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, our national chairman now, Minister Hashim Nzinga, a Divine Allah, our national youth minister, who was also there, Minister Zaid Muhammad there, and even Minister Najee Muhammad, our former national field marshal. So many of you, I can't name you all, but those of you who was there, we have to give a thanks and a Panther salute to you and those of you who have held the line over the years, you know, who are still holding the line, even Minister Yusef Shabazz, former national spokesman. We got to give thanks to you. So many of you who held the line during these critical times between 1998 until early 2000. And so it was at this time that Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who had been Dr. Khalid's right-hand man, he became the national spokesman, a man who I follow behind and come in his footsteps now as national spokesman. Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz was national spokesman for Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. At this time, a man whom you all hear about in Texas who is still organizing to the best of his ability and doing what he can do for our people, Quanell X, who was a former minister from the Nation of Islam out of Houston. He became the Minister of Information. Ultimately, he formed a group called the Black Panther Nation that he's still operating with in Houston. And Brother Hashim Nzinga, at that time, who was national assistant. He became national assistant, ultimately then became national chief of staff. And a brother of ours, another brother who was trained out of the Nation of Islam, who was there out of Norfolk, Virginia, Brother Michael Muhammad, he became at that point the national youth minister. I mean, we have a long history and a long legacy of brothers and sisters who have labored to put us in this position where we are today. some strong warriors. I'll get to you all in another show. I'm not gonna even glaze over you. I'm gonna just devote a whole show to some of these strong ones that have put us in this position and have helped us to be where we are today. And many who continue to even labor today. Got to give thanks to Amir Muhammad, who was the former national assistant in the spot now occupied by Sister Amira Sankofa, Amir Muhammad out of D.C., and, you know, so many others. Got to give thanks to our brother, National Minister of Commerce, Brother Thutmosis Powell out of New York. I mean, just so many others. Thutmosis Powell, we love you. Wherever you are in the world, we love you, and we appreciate your sacrifice, knowing that you were on the run from this beast and from this enemy. We appreciate you. And one of our brothers who had to take flight to avoid persecution by this beast, Thutmosis Powell, we honor you, sir, on Black Power Radio. And so around the time of mid-February, after all of his success, now around the time that we were preparing, the new Black Panther Party was preparing for another national summit, Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, still organizing, still moving, gave his last speech, what ultimately turned out to be his last speech, in Harlem, New York, at the Harriet Tubman School, called Enough Negro Stuff, what ultimately termed it Enough Negro Stuff. Revolution is the only solution. Enough Negro Stuff. Revolution is the only solution. And after giving that speech and still pushing and organizing for the new Black Panther Party, and our National Chief of Staff, Hashim Nzinga, tells us that as he was driving Doc to that event, that Doc was so dedicated that he ultimately ironed his Panther uniform at a truck stop, that he didn't have time to stop and to get into a hotel anywhere, but that he ultimately ironed his uniform at a truck stop and went on into this event, this rally organized for him, and that he organized for the new Black Panther Party, called this speech that he called Enough Negro Stuff, Revolution is the Only Solution. Unfortunately, February 17th of 2001, we lost the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad at the age of 53 as he passed from a cerebral hemorrhage. Some of you say aneurysm, but no, it was a cerebral hemorrhage, a stroke of the brain, as Doc, it was known, suffered from hypertension and high blood pressure, and he ultimately suffered, he died of cerebral hemorrhage. That's a hard discussion there. And that's a hard time also for our new Black Panther Party, of course. Now, there's much controversy with that. And our national chairman now, Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, made the painstaking effort to get as much information on what happened to our Black Power General and to find out what really went on, as there was some suspicion around the woman that he was married to at that time, Kian Ambush. Ms. Ambush, there was some suspicion around her activities at that time, why she did not act faster to get Dr. Khaled Muhammad some medical treatment, and, you know, what actually took place and what went down, because Dr. Khaled Muhammad was famous for telling us in this Black Power movement and in this nation that, hell, if he slipped on a bar of soap, that the white man did it. And so Kian Ambush ultimately had ties to some Jews who were friendly towards her and consider her family. I'm not going to slander her on Black Power Radio, but there's just some suspicion around that and the actions of Kian Ambush that that need answer for the Black nation and for those of us in the new Black Panther Party. But ultimately, our national chairman made the painstaking effort to find out as much evidence as he could, to get as much truth about the matter as he could, and to put together a report to the Black nation that details as best as it could with the information that it had what happened to our Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And for those of you, I have to make this side point. For those of you who make mischief with that, and you want to accuse the national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, of having some kind of underhanded scheme to assassinate the Black Power General, you are delusional as hell. It's not as if when Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz took over the leadership of the new Black Panther Party as the national chairman that he inherited some kind of palace with gold-plated bars and gold driveways, Rolls Royces, Mercedes Benzes, and all this type of deal. If you knew, and I do know, the kind of hell that Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz received then and receives now, not only from white folks, so-called Jews and who whatnot, but also some dissatisfied even within the new Black Panther Party, then and in some cases now, you wouldn't think that kind of thought. Initially, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz didn't even want the position, but at the bequest of those who were in the committee at that time, and even his own son and Dr. Khalid's own son and family members, I'm speaking chiefly of Brother Farrakhan Khalid Muhammad, now known as Far Great, who is a son of Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and some others. He was asked, and it was told to him, that his father wanted Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz to take over as chairman if anything happened to him. Every great leader thinks about who will take over the leadership or take their place in the event that something happens to them. This is any good leader, male or female. And so it was known. He was also selected and elected into that by the committee. And so he is official. Let me say that for the world. Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz is official, and he has proven to be one who has carried on the legacy and the name and the works of the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. So ultimately, the Black Power General was buried. He was buried not far from Minister Malcolm X. He was buried, and he was laid to rest. And the party, even to do that, had to scramble. There were so many who claimed that they were with Doc, that they were down with the Black Power General, that they were riding with him, and yeah, we with you all while he was alive. But the new Black Panther Party had to damn near beg and bomb and scrape to bury our leader and bury our general and make sure that he had a righteous ceremony and a righteous transition with his family, his friends, and his loved ones. We had to damn near beg, scrape, and bawl to make that happen. And so all of those who did that under that kind of duress, we salute you and we honor you. Not to mention, the agents were running wild at that time. Not to mention, agents, those under the name of Aki and some others out there who were, I believe, agents that even worked in the Nation of Islam and others, running wild at that time, making mischief even with the very body, with the very body of Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. This is a hard subject, but I got to say it like it is. Making mischief with the man's body, taking pictures of this man in his resting state, desecrating the body of the Black Power General. Many of you don't know what this party has been through and what we go through to this day. Security procedures broken down all throughout the new Black Panther Party and broken down, as we were supposed to watch the body, and those that were there were supposed to watch the body of our general. Security procedures broken down. And so all of this put into right manner by Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and other strong leadership, Hashim Mzinga and others, put into check. But this is real. And so through all of that, the Black Power General was given a proper transition and honoring ceremony, as you can see that on YouTube. those who came and showed support. And there were some others of you that should have came. I'm not trying to scratch up past wounds, but I'm just saying, you know, those of you who did not come, who should have came to the transition ceremony of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, you know you should have been there. He would have been there for you. But the Black Power General was laid to rest. In this, and in this climate, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz takes over leadership, was given the leadership after not wanting it, didn't want it. Felt like, as he said, that the leadership of the group should stay as a collective, but that the National Central Committee feeling like that if they did not have a lead man out front, a lead chairperson out front, similar to a president of an organization, that the direction and that the visibility of the party wouldn't be as strong. And so under this kind of pressure, having to decide whether he was going to keep pushing in this manner and having the weight of either taking the mantle or watching the party ultimately fall apart, he takes the mantle as his leader and general, Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, as national chairman. And being that he was one of the closest advisors to Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad and also an attorney, he had the wherewithal to lead this organization and has the wherewithal to lead the organization and to organize us. He had a long record and has a long record of organizing us as a people all the way back through his time and affiliation with Unity Nation and with his work even before that on the campus of Howard University. See, some of you who are newcomers, you just come to know Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz as national chairman of the new Black Panther Party, you know, an international figure with the party, but you don't know that Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz had been organizing for a long time, really over two decades. He's been organizing in all kind of fashions. And he's a man who has a track record of being there when called upon. He worked on the campus of Howard University in 88, founded Unity Nation. It was a Howard University group of Nation of Islam supporters in 88. And in early 94, after Dr. Khalid Muhammad lost his title as national spokesman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, then going into his second year of law school, he invited Dr. Khalid Muhammad to lecture with the Unity Nation on the campus. And he said that he wanted to show love for a man who had been vilified and attacked by the media and the Jewish community, Congress and the Congressional Black Caucus. See, when you love an individual, male or female, let me phrase it like this, when you are born to help an individual, then no matter what the odds are or no matter what a group of individuals say against the person you're supposed to help or even a movement or this party, when you are born to do this, it does not matter what the odds are that are stacked against you or are not supposedly in your favor. When you are born to do this and born to help, you help regardless. You help regardless. And so as Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad was suspended, vilified, slandered by white folks, black folks, and whoever, it was Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz who was still inviting that black man to his campus, still making sure that that black man had the things that he needed, still making sure that he showed up and was seen on CNN and other networks, that his mission, his message, and his method was visible throughout the world. He wanted to show love for a man who had been vilified and attacked by the media, by the so-called Jews, by the Congress, and by the Congressional Black Caucus. hell. As you see, oft times, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, he would open up for Doc. He would, you know, same way I do, he would teach the truth about what that man stood for, the message that he was given, regardless to whom or what. And we have a duty today. We have a duty today to respond for Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz in the same manner that he responded for Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. A duty to respond and to protect even and to organize against and to speak out and rally against the slander against Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, the vilification against Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. We have that obligation, those of us who say that we are with him and that we honor him and that we're working for him and that we appreciate his sacrifice and taking the mantle of leadership through much trial and through much pain and persecution. We have to work and we have to do what we got to do to stand for him like he stood for Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. So Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz began to go after the enemies at this time of Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And so as he would warm up and bring on Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, he would always say, "Who is it that caught and killed Nat Turner?" And the audience would reply, "The Jews." He would say, "Who is it that controls the Federal Reserve?" And the audience would reply, "The Jews." He would say, "Who is it that controls the media and Hollywood?" The audience would say, "The Jews, the Jews." He would go on to talk about Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad and say that this is the man who gives the Jews and white folks nightmares when they go to sleep. This is the man who makes the Jews pee in their pants. This is the man that we expect to hear from and that you will hear from. Are you ready to hear from him? This is the way that Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz would represent as organizer and spokesman for Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And so he would take heat. He would take criticism. He would be put in positions where they would ask him to apologize for his remarks, to take back his remarks, to not stand on his ground as taught by Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. But he would tell them that he sympathizes, of course, with the suffering of all people, but that they must stop pushing their Holocaust down his throat, and that the Black Holocaust is the worst Holocaust that humanity has ever seen. That's the kind of leadership that you got, brothers and sisters. By October the 14th and 15th, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, of course, they put on a prelude to the Nation of Islam's Million Man March. Unity Nation held an African Black Holocaust Nationhood Conference. We need another one. An African Black Holocaust Nationhood Conference. At that event, several powerful black historians were there. Had all kind of people there. And it was geared towards the youth and capturing the youth and capturing those of you who was going to do something. Held it at two Washington, D.C. high schools. The first session was at, right here, say, McKinley Technical High School in Northeast Washington. And the next day it was at Coolidge High School, the northwest part of the city. There were many that came who had expressed support. And we always got love for a man who still rolls with us to this day and is still educating and inspiring us to this day. I'm talking about Professor and Dr. Leonard Jeffries of New York City College. Got love for a man who stood by the side of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad and who broke down point by point. One of the chief historians of our black nation and fact finders of our black nation. Got love for Brother and Professor Steve Coakley. Got love for those who rolled with us and stood with us over the years. And so as time went on, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz continued to work with Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad and endowed with Brother Aaron Michaels. By 98, when Dr. Khaled Muhammad was in leadership, it was Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz whose role was to take the new Black Panther Party to the media and spread it throughout the world. Spread it. And so by 2000, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who was now in a dual role. See, this is a hard-working black man. He was in a dual role of New Black Panther Party national spokesman and national minister of justice. That position now held by our imam, Bilal Akbar Kareem. But Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz held both positions, national spokesman and national minister of justice. And he opened a chapter there in Washington, D.C., that would later become and now is our New Black Panther Party national headquarters. Since we lost Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz had to organize. So he began to carry on in the legacy of Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, organizing rallies, protests, everything he could, confrontations, arm maneuvers, and everything he could around the country to continue to build the movement. Like his mentor before him, he focused on black communities, in specific, the black community. He focused on our issues. And by April of 2001, after days of rioting, if you can remember about those brothers and sisters in Cincinnati, he went on down there. They had, at that time, shot an unarmed black teenager. The police did. The Cincinnati Police Department shot an unarmed black man and an unarmed black teen. And the New Black Panther Party rolled down and eulogized him. I think Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz told me he drove. I think he told me he drove from D.C. to Cincinnati. But Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz told the crowd to continue to resist by any divine means necessary. Later, he would lead the New Black Panther Party outside of former President Bill Clinton's Harlem office. You remember old Slick Willie when he was talking about he was going to move into Harlem. He was going to get all off into Harlem and get all into the black community. The New Black Panther Party was probably the only organization, if I can remember, maybe it was a few more. But if I can remember correctly, the New Black Panther Party was one of the few organizations to organize on Bill Clinton's occupation of Harlem. And ultimately, we stayed on Bill Clinton's behind and still on Bill Clinton's behind. Oh, big nose Peckerwood, Bill Clinton, stay on his behind. Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz helped ultimately to restructure the organization to where it would run in an effective manner in accordance to the dictates of Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, organizing internal guidelines for organizing and promoting a national structure. Those of you who have a New Black Panther Party official Black Power Manual, that labor and that work of compiling that was chiefly compiled by Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, with help of the Dallas chapter, help of those that were in New York and Jersey, help of Brother Jamal Crawford, I believe even at a certain point, at a later point. But initially, it was put together chiefly by Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. And he did what was considered taking up what Dr. Khaled was building, and he put that out. Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz spoke out against the September 11th terrorist attacks, spoke out against the fabricated September 11th terrorist attacks, and gave the New Black Panther Party an opportunity to exploit the misuse of the fear and anger that those supposed attacks caused, and to further show the hand of the so-called Jews and show, you know, show the evil hidden hand of these globalists and bankers on September the 11th. And so by October 31st of 2001, I'm trying to just get enough of this in here for the sake of time, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz co-sponsored a three-hour meeting with Muslims for Truth, what was called the Muslims for Truth Club, at the, the Muslims for Truth and Justice organization, with several Muslims, several different branches of Islam that came together to speak out and represent for the religion of Islam at the National Press Club. Now, this is amidst the whole September the 11th controversy, where they took this stance to, for those of you Muslims who are against Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, it was him and the new Black Panther Party that took the stance to clean up your name and to clear the name for the religion of Islam, to clear the name and to make it plain that not all of us were involved in that, and not all of us were terrorists, and not all of us were, you know, some kind of silly people with, you know what I mean, with designs to do silly things. That was not the case. We spoke out and stood up as a new Black Panther Party for those righteous who were doing positive things and successful things and beautiful things in the name of Islam, peaceful things for peaceful people. And so this was held at the National Press Club, October 31st of 2001, of coalition form. And so, you know, you all can see that. I don't have enough time to go over all of this, but you all can see that on C-SPAN. If you go to C-SPAN.com, you can type in Malik Zulu Shabazz, and that video of him standing up for Islam and standing up for the righteous and the peaceful can be seen on C-SPAN. And so, just for the sake of time, I'll just quickly bring you into the situation with us and some members of the original party. Now, it is reported to us through our former minister, National Minister of Defense, Brother David Foreman, that sometime in the early 90s, they had sat down with Brother Bobby Seale and expressed the plans for the new Black Panther Party and expressed what it was that their designs was to do in the hells of North America. And contrary to popular belief, it was Brother Bobby Seale who gave the okay for Captain David Foreman and Aaron Michaels and those brothers and sisters to organize in the name of the Panther Party. This is historical, actual fact. And so it was only until Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad began to go to war against the so-called Jews and to have entanglements and controversy with the so-called Jews that our brother, Bobby Seale, and some members of the Panther Party of the 1960s, Brother David Hilliard, and some others who make up what was later to be known as the Dr. Huey P. Newton Foundation, that they began to issue statements against us as a party, stating that we had totally abandoned the survival programs, which was totally false and a misunderstanding, but that's the position they took. And ultimately, they said that they believed that our alleged racism flew directly in the face of the Black Panther Party's multicultural ideology and purpose. Now, to be clear, the Black Panther Party of the 1960s, if you would read the 10-point program, of the original drafted program of the Black Panther Party of the 1960s, the Black Panther Party was never made to be multicultural within its ranks in terms of holding hands with white folks and sharing Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream and things like this. The Black Panther Party program, which we stand on as the new Black Panther Party, was completely a black nationalist ideology, a black nationalist program, and they considered themselves to be the ideological heirs of Minister Malcolm X. Everybody knows that. Minister Malcolm X said, even informing the OAAU and informing the Muslim Mosque Incorporated, when asked, can whites join the organization, Minister Malcolm X said no, that whites, if they so choose, could help. By doing good, they could donate or whatnot, they could help, but they could not join the organization. And so it was in that same spirit, and us believing that we are standing on the ideology of Minister Malcolm X, the ideology of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the ideology of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, the ideology, the original ideology and purpose of the Black Panther Party of the 1960s, that we did not allow a multicultural event to happen with the new Black Panther Party. There has to be something where we can go and it's just us, those of us who have suffered this post-traumatic slave disorder. There has to be an organization that is designed for us to deal with situations dealing specifically with us. And so that is the new Black Panther Party stance, and that is why we take the stance that we take. It is not to be full of hatred or vitriol or unnecessary anger or dissatisfaction even with other nationalities. It is that we have issues to deal with as a community, issues to deal with as a people, and we cannot be strong as a people uniting with everybody else, and we have not first united with ourselves. And so only when Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad got into a scuffle with the Jews, did some members, I want to be clear when I say some members of the Black Panther Party of the 1960s, begin to shy away from us and begin to denounce us and say that we were not a part of them. But I do want to make it plain that there are Panthers, as you say, original members, there are Panthers of the 1960s that are very much in support and work with the new Black Panther Party. I talked to you, I think, last Saturday, about Brother Shep, who was there in New York, in Harlem, who is a personal advisor to Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and who is a national advisor to us. You know, also, you have others who work with us. You have a man who is within our ranks, even others who are within our ranks, but one who sticks out of my mind right now, Brother Abdul Kahar out of Cleveland, Ohio, who rolled with the Panther formation of the 1960s. Brother Ishmael Shabazz, even in my mind, who is there in New York, who's with us now, who organized and worked with the Black Panther Party of the 1960s. There's others. I don't have enough time to just name names, but I'm just here to tell you this, that those brothers and sisters, and let me not forget to mention Brother Daruba bin Wahid, Brother Daruba, Imam Daruba bin Wahid, who is an advisor to us and who was even there with us at our Panther New York 21, our Panther 21 celebration that we did in 2010, keynoted the event. You know, Brother Bullwhip and so many others. I mean, it's just, you know, Brother Zaid Muhammad, our National Minister of Culture, a Panther Cub, our former chairman there in New York City, Brother Shaka Shakur, a Panther Cub. I mean, there are so many of us, you know, that are involved in this. We come from that lineage. We're embedded with this. So let no man or woman deceive you that the new Black Panther Party is on some kind of deviant course, and that we have no involvement with Panthers, OG Panthers of the 1960s. It is just an attempt used by the media to cause division so that you would not organize with us today, and that you would think that by staying away from the new Black Panther Party that you're upholding the legacy of the Black Panther Party of the 1960s. But would Ask yourself this question. Would you have stood with the Black Panther Party when they were labeled the number one threat to the internal security of the United States of America? Would you have stood with the Black Panther Party when police agencies across this country were shooting Panthers on site, arresting Panthers on site, shooting up the headquarters, assassinating Panthers, framing up Panthers, and doing anything they could to make sure that the Panther and its leadership were destabilized and off track, as they did through the counterintelligence program? It's easy to say you would stand with the Panther Party now of the 60s, because this is not the 60s. But if you would stand with them then you have a duty to stand with us now, because the same, much of the same, and really more of the same that they go through and that they went through then, we are going through right now. And so I'll have to pick this up. I will pick this up again next Saturday, God willing, the Creator willing. I'll pick this up as Saturdays are now our Panther Nights, as we will continue to delve into Panther history and Panther theology, so that you can get a better understanding of who it is that we are and what it is that we're doing, as we will begin to go into the new Black Panther Party seven principles of a divine sacred man or woman. We will begin to go into the new Black Panther Party rules and regulations. We will go into the new Black Panther Party five duties of a Panther, the new Black Panther Party 12 general orders. We will go into so much over the course of the next few weeks, and hopefully by the time that it's over, you will understand what it is that we're about, what it is that we're standing for, and what it is that we're pushing for. I ask you, brothers and sisters, to keep in mind our brother Gil Noble, who is now in intensive care fighting for his life. And I ask that you would say a prayer if you pray, and given your meditation in your heart for his life, and giving your prayers and meditations for those right now, you who are on the East Coast, if you're being battered by this Hurricane Irene, we pray your safety and hope that you're secure where you are. We also ask that you keep in mind our Tuba to Johnny Express, as we intend to ship over 3 tons of goods to Africa and Senegal. 3 tons of goods to Africa through Senegal and ultimately some other areas as this thing expands. Keep in mind, we want you to bring the man that we talked about tonight, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, to your college campus and to your venues. Bring him to your churches. Bring him to your mosques. Bring him to your meetings. Let him keynote. Let him explain to you what it means to be a Panther and what it is to struggle for Black liberation in this hour. And we ask that you visit our website as we work on and work to reinstitute our new Black Panther Party website. And we work to upgrade and to now put our new Black Panther Party paper back in your hands. We ask you visit our standing website, thedayofactionmovement.org, and support our Day of Action movements and upcoming Day of Action movement this October 1st. We ask you now to begin to get some locations to have movements for your people to have self-determination in the Black community. October the 1st, Day of Action movement. For your questions and your inquiries, you can get us at nbpphq@yahoo.com, or you can also contact any of us on Facebook. Contact me, Sean Kwali, National Spokesman on Facebook. I'm your brother and your servant and your soldier, and I thank you for listening. I hope that this was informative, and know that it's not the end. It's just the beginning, as we will continue to explore the majesty and the greatness of what we have and what we are as the new Black Panther Party. And I leave you as I came, in peace. And always prosperity, with more so with Black Power.
Until the philosophy, which old one race superior and another inferior, is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is one.